You're listening to the Station of Nations, AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport. We are WGBB, the station that serves your community.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
This is not Mark, it's Charlie. How are you? I'm here with Hassan, hopefully.
I'm here.
Oh, thank God. And anyway, this is It Came From The Radio. If anybody's having any trouble listening to us, you could go online. You could go online at www.am1240wgbb.com. Or if you want to call in, please do. The number is 888-8811. And there we go. Hassan, I hope you have some news today.
I've got a few pieces of news. First of all, there's no sponsoring by the tow company because Charlie and I personally don't have a grudge against them, so we're going to have to wait until next week for that.
Right.
Mark is actually on the planet Dagobah today.
Ah.
That's what he told me to tell everybody, that he actually got there by bus. I don't know how he did it. I don't envy him, because it's way much nicer here than it is on Dagobah at any time. But he's just not going to be joining us today, obviously, everybody can tell. Mm-hmm. How are you, Charlie? Charlie's here, like, before the theme music. So, how did that happen?
I have no idea. I just put on warp drive and I was here. I don't know. There are so many Sunday drivers out there, and I did get caught in traffic. And I was like, oh my God, you know. But
did you break any laws?
No, not at all. I would never do that. Ever, never.
On the air.
Never.
Loud.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yes. See, Brian saw me do that. So, but no, never, ever, ever. But anyway.
Okay.
And by the way, getting to that planet, Greyhound will take you anywhere.
Greyhound?
Greyhound buses, they'll take you anywhere.
So it'll take you to Dagobah. So how much do you think a ticket to Dagobah costs?
Your firstborn male child.
They're a little late on that one.
Yeah, but they will take you. There you go.
I don't think getting the Dagobah is that important. I really don't. Did you, Charlie, did you see Captain America the Winter Soldier this weekend?
No, I didn't. I was too busy celebrating my birthday and not knowing where the hell I was at times.
Happy birthday again.
Oh,
the third
you.
Time. That's three times.
I know. And thank you so much. That's why I said in my last text, thank you for all the birthday wishes. Yes, it was a plethora of wishes from Hassan.
I've said it in public, so now the entire world knows.
There you go.
Faversham.
There you
knows.
Go. There you go.
Brian, did you see Captain America?
No, I did not. Not yet, anyway. I'm waiting to hear the reviews.
Mm. I hope that came through, because I didn't hear that, but okay.
I'm waiting to hear the reviews. I haven't seen it yet.
It's if you go on the internet has spoken about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and it's the only time I've ever seen the internet almost unanimously love something.
Mm.
And according to many reputable sources, it made a total of, so far, it's only Sunday, so the weekend isn't over, but so far they're giving it $96.2 million it made domestically, only in America, this weekend. So it's broken all kinds of records, and you know, all kinds of people are starting religions all over the place for it. You know, kids are going to be walking around with Captain America shields on. It's going to be it's a big deal. It's going to be a huge big deal.
I don't know.
And you two did not contribute any money to it.
No, not yet.
I
will, because you know I work at nights and I have nothing to do during the day, so I'll be the first show, the first one at the first show, you know, tomorrow.
Right.
Someplace.
Most likely we'll review it either next week or the week after, something like that. So it probably would be in your best interest to go see it. Also, it's apparently a great film. I mean, I saw it. I'll save my opinion for whenever we review it. But apparently, according to everybody else on the internet machine, it is a fantastic film. So,
yeah.
You know, and it's on par. It's almost better than The Avengers, if that's at all possible.
Well, I got to tell you, last year I was watching, I don't know what I went to see, one of our movies that I had to see, and the preview for Captain America Winter Soldier. I loved the preview. I couldn't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So,
the preview. It did look extremely good. I enjoyed the first one. I enjoyed the first Avenger, which was the first Captain America movie. And I enjoyed it mostly because I was surprised that it was good, because it was Captain America. It's kind of schlocky, you know, and then they turned it into a wonderful period piece of 1940s, you know, comic book action hero movie with the World War II backdrop.
Right.
And just made it a great film. It just really, really was a great film. So, you know, that kind of led into the possibilities for The Avengers, which was another really great film, in spite of the fact of how I feel about certain people who were behind the creation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to the you know, of course, the Iron Mans and the Thors, which were okay. They're on par. They're good. But this movie, I saw the preview. I'm with you on that, Charlie. I saw the preview for it, and it was like, wow. You know, this preview looks fantastic. So, you know, I went running to see it just because of those previews, and I'll save my opinion. But, you know, apparently, you know, regardless of how you, I, or Mark or Brian feel about it, it's the internet has spoken. It's a fantastic film, and the internet never says anything good about anything. So
right.
All right. So
go ahead,
Charlie.
No, I was going to say, isn't it interesting that. And while you were talking about it, I'm thinking, isn't it interesting that DC answered with Wonder Woman?
Yes.
The same thing.
DC said that the world is not ready for a female action hero film or something like that.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of memes about that on the internet, where it's like DC says that, you know, world's not ready for a Wonder Woman solo movie. And Marvel says, here, have a talking raccoon. Who was, you know, of course, featured in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
So, you know, apparently Marvel is much more progressive than DC. DC is being destroyed, basically. Yeah. The only thing they really have is Arrow, which is on WB weekly, and it's everybody loves that show. People are loving that show more so than they do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far.
Right.
I don't know if the Captain America movie is going to be a game changer
for
that, but. Everyone loves Arrow, and then of course DC also had the Dark Knight trilogy, which ended kind of dubiously. You know, I mean, people are kind of iffy on how it ended, but they, you know, there's no argument that that's not a powerhouse franchise right there. And then of course they had the Man of Steel, which, you know, people are on the fence about. You know, that could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
So. Meanwhile, Marvel is just breaking records everywhere. They've put out like about 10 movies or something like that. I lose count. You know, they got 3 Iron Man movies, 2 Thor movies, 2 Captain America movies. All right, so that's already 7. And then they got the Avengers, and then they have Hulk. So, you know, 8, 9, 10. So we're just about there. You know, it's been a tour de force for them. You know, and they have very little to do with. No, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. They also have Spider-Man coming out, the Amazing Spider-Man. So the MCU, which stands for Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is a little ostentatious, but whatever, is really just making a meal out of this comic book movie franchise thing. So, and they're doing it correctly, whereas Warner Brothers owns DC, who could really be tearing repairing a hole in the fabric of comic book cinema of their in their own right are just kind of dragging their feet.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, it could be because they Marvel has Disney behind it, and Warner Brothers just has Warner Brothers behind it.
Yeah, but Warner Brothers is no joke. You know, Warner Brothers is a movie house, so they should be making the whole idea. They arguably bought DC so that they could have an infinite supply of cinematic concepts.
But Warner Brothers is a movie and was always first a movie thing, and they always worry about the bottom line with the money. Whereas if you're Disney, you could take all the chances you want in the world, and you will never ever lose money.
Yeah, and, case in point being John Carter.
Yeah, yes. As we all know, yes.
Yeah.
Which again, I will say, I like that movie.
So did I. I liked John Carter, but nobody else did. You and I were the only ones smiling in the theater, apparently, because everybody else was pissed off.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it just lost a jillion dollars, and Marvel didn't even blink. Disney didn't even blink. They turned around, they bought Marvel, and they bought Lucasfilm. So right. For $4 billion each. So they turned around right after this huge loss of John Carter, spent $8 billion and bought two more major companies.
Right.
So, Disney's not hurting for any money. So, yeah, maybe it is fair to say that the Marvel Cinematic Universe, dominance is because of who's behind them.
Exactly.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough. according to the news that I have leached from the internet, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show is going to do a spinoff of the Winter Soldier this coming Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be a game changer for the show. I have my issues with the show. I don't know how you feel about it. Have you ever watched the show, Charlie?
Yeah, I've seen it. Actually, I've seen it free on demand. I caught up on a couple of episodes, and it's at times slow moving and stuff like that. I wish I did more with what they had to work with.
Well, there's a lot of arguments, or there's a lot of speculation as to why the TV show isn't as well loved as the Marvel movies, which seem to be able to do no wrong.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, the creators themselves speculate that the fans were expecting a mini movie every week of, you know, some, you know, great special effects and great action and stuff like that, which, you know, I guess it's a good way to spin it. I don't personally think that's what's happening with the people. I don't really think that that's what the people are having a problem with. But again, we can table that for another discussion.
Sure.
Apparently, according to them, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. teams goes from being a worldwide organization to being a bunch of, quote, a ragtag bunch scraping things together after the events, so basically of Captain America.
Right.
Some big things happen in Captain America, which will definitely affect the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in accordance with in keeping with the continuity, they're going to shake a lot of things up and change a lot of things on the TV show, which hopefully, you know, will improve the show. The show has been getting better step by step.
Right.
Even from a critic such as myself, I can acknowledge that it has been getting a little better.
Mm-hmm.
They said that many of the threats that were revealed on the show will lead back to the outcome of Captain America. They couldn't do it before. They couldn't tie everything in before the movie, obviously, because they would have ruined the film. And there was also supposedly planned a major betrayal within the group of the highlighted Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which within Coulson, Agent Coulson's little airplane party
right there.
So that's all big. I don't know if that's all coming Tuesday. I know Tuesday is going to be the start of the tie-in. And then the last, there's about six episodes left of the first season. So hopefully, you know, we'll get some major action on Tuesday. We'll get some tie-ins. We'll get some oohs and ahs and all that stuff. And then everybody will have their butts glued to the seats for the remainder of the six episodes. And then they'll get picked up for another season. And then we'll be back next year to complain about it all over again.
I think they should. I liked the premise. Like I said, I really did not dislike the show. I liked the show. It's just at times I said, as many other viewers said, oh my God, this could be so much better. It's good and it has a great vehicle and it could be so much better.
Right. You know? Well, I've said that. You know, I've had that. I have that feeling. I think it suffers from a lot of 90s tropes and, you know, with a little gimmicks and trickery and stuff like that. But, you know, what can you do?
I mean,
you know, other people like it. You know, it's got, again, Disney behind it, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, hopefully they'll just step it up, and it'll be worth the ratings that it's not getting right now. Surely things are supposedly getting better for it.
You know what they should do? They should, every week, remember Mission Impossible, how he went into a little thing and he found a tape recorder every week? Well, every week they should have like a conference, and right on the big screen there should be one of the superheroes, one of the Avengers, telling them, we have a problem here, blah, 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 I need you guys, you know, we need you guys to go out and stuff like that. I think that would make it a little more interesting, and you know, everybody tunes in to see, hey, what you know, Avengers going to be on this week.
That's what the fans have been saying, that they want some tie-ins with it.
Yeah.
It's got the Marvel universe behind it. There should be superheroes and supervillains being part of it, and not this kind of weird soap opera-ish, you know, back and forth between these characters. But
or intermingling with them on the assignment, you know?
Yeah, or some kind of thing. The problem is, I'm sure they can't afford, like, Chris Hemsworth and certainly Robert Downey Jr., and probably now Chris Evans, who's going to be taking his place amongst the stars now. He's already a decent star, but he's going to be huge now after this movie, I suspect. The problem is they can't really bring those guys in. They can't really afford to do that every week. They had Sam Jackson on one episode as a cameo.
Yeah.
And they've had a couple of other movie people do walkthroughs, but that's about all they can really do. So we're just going to have to make do with what they have.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for them to come out with another Fantastic Four movie, and everybody says, "Hey, Captain America's the Human Torch."
Supposedly they're doing another Fantastic Four, but they're casting it completely different. We already talked about it on the show. And the Human Torch is a black guy this time, and now everybody's upset about that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the way life is.
In the long run, he ends up red anyway, so what the hell? You know, stop it, people.
Yeah, nobody, who cares? As long as he doesn't take the flames off, you never know what he looks like anyway. So,
It's
like you can leave it alone.
Yeah, you always have. Oh, my God, I'm like... Good thing I was in here when you guys were talking about that. I would have hit the roof with that.
A couple of minutes here. Let's see. There's another Harry Potter trilogy on the way. Have you heard about that, Charlie?
The what?
Another Harry Potter.
Yes, we were talking about. I was here when we were talking about that. Yeah, the search for more money.
Yeah,
but this has to be with his kids, or is it a reboot?
I don't think J.K. Rowling is suffering.
Yeah.
Personally, but you know, so she's supposedly writing the new trilogy, and the new information I have is that it's supposed to take place 70 years before Harry Potter was even born.
So, a prequel,
good going. That's where you go.
So
with that.
We're dealing with Potter's parents, I guess.
Well, his grandparents are.
Okay.
It's supposedly the movie is supposed to be called. Excuse me, I have it here. Dead air. The Fantastic Beasts and Where They Can Be Found, or Where to Find Them. The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, as the official writings of Newt Scamander, who is one of the characters that was talked about in the Harry Potter story. So I don't know what it's going to be about, but you know, kids are going to love it. So.
Well, all the pre-Harry Potter people are dead, so I would call it before before the potters were potted, I guess you would call it. I don't know, just a thought.
Let's hope they don't go with that title.
Yeah, that's why I'm sitting here and there out there.
Exactly. No revenge, but yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of why we're talking to Mrs. Faversham, and they're talking to the rest of the internet.
Right.
And then the last piece of news that I have before we can break out of here is Richard Donner says that he's going to be doing a Goonies sequel. Goonies is a 1985 kind of hit. It's become more of a cult classic now. About a bunch of kids who are looking for buried pirate treasure. Richard Donner, who is 83 years old, confirmed while he was signing autographs that he hopes that he will be able to assemble the entire original cast to come back into this Goonies sequel. And, of course, the internet went nuts indignantly about that, because it's, again, another assault on our childhood, as far as they're concerned.
Right.
And also, last piece, a little bit of sad news. Yesterday, well, sad for people like me. I don't know how everybody else feels about it. Yesterday marked the 28th year anniversary of Kurt Cobain's suicide.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Wow. It's a solid 20 years.
That's wow, 20 years.
20 years.
Oh, my God.
It was April 5th, 1994 that he...
It's been that long?
Yes.
It's me and Brian. Wow. We got to slow down our lives somehow.
Yeah, right?
Just turn around. It's like...
This is not good.
No.
Yeah, well, I don't feel that great about it either, fellas. Yeah. Trust me.
Well, think how Kurt feels.
He's probably, you know, he's hopefully in a better place, feeling a lot better than we are feeling about it.
Yeah, yeah. That was a wild lifestyle, though, with him, with the not only the bipolar stuff, but being married to Courtney Love. Could you imagine that?
No, I could not imagine that.
No.
Not even for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can imagine that.
I have nightmares about
that. It was
crazy.
Every story says that it was a crazy ride. You know, some things are more extreme than others, and you know, there's a lot of speculation. But for the most part, there were, you know, there's a lot of narcotics involved.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought the guy was extremely talented. I was into the band, and I was into their two major albums they put out. Of course,
oh my God, yeah, I bought their albums. I was in love with the band.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of sad that we weren't going to get anything passed in utero, but
yeah,
you know, that's the way it was. I just wanted to make a statement, because I don't know if anybody died for real.
Yeah.
Recently.
Well, you know, that's I tell you, I was, you know, when that album came out, I just loved it so much because it was reminiscent about my era when all the hard rock, you know, acid rock, as they used to call it, hard rock, you know, it was never heavy metal. It was always, you know, acid rock, hard rock. They always had a title. But when I heard this, I says, oh, my God, this is like... What started it all, you know, with the heavy metal thing?
Yeah,
and
it's kind of like a '70s punk kind of thing. And it, you know, it really worked when it came out. It really offset that hairband stuff that I wasn't much of a fan of. But
right.
All right, so Brian, can we take a break?
Sure can.
All right, we're gonna take a break, and we'll be right back with It Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Thank you.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Wow, that was hot.
That was apparently the Captain America theme song from the Winter Soldier, according to Brian.
Yes, it was. Brian's right on that stuff. He's right on that stuff. He's an expert. Yeah, he's the best. That's why he's in there.
Oh, thanks.
He doesn't pay to mess with Brian. He really doesn't. I've already learned that.
No. Thanks, guys. Tell my boss. Maybe I'll get a raise.
Yeah.
He's the most unbelievable teacher I've ever heard in my entire life. Sitting here listening to that music was like a religious experience. It really was.
Yes.
I floated. No one saw because I'm home, but I was floating. I literally was floating.
Yeah, I was doing tequila shots for my birthday. Pretty much that's how I felt, like that music sounded, you know?
Did you have a good birthday, Charlie?
Oh, my God. It's not over yet. I've had an unbelievable birthday weekend. First off, my family took me out, went to Texas Roadhouse on Friday.
Oh, nice.
And so I was out with my daughter and Marianne, who was the co-host of the show sometimes,
yes.
and the crew and my friend Charlene and Mike and Anthony and Doug and all these people. And we had a great time. Yesterday, I went out with all my friends from... all my musician friends and all my friends, and we went to this Portuguese restaurant called Brasa. It's in Mineola. Unbelievable.
And really?
I've never had
Portuguese food.
Well, it's pretty much just great stuff that you normally do have, only cooked in a different way. They had this... they had this special that you get, and I forgot what it's called, but it's all you can eat. And it's an amazing restaurant because they put the side dishes on the table already. You don't order side dishes. You have everything you can choose from. It's like a family thing, you know. They all put the stuff on the table. But you order your entree. And it was like, I've ordered this stuff all you can eat. And every 3 minutes, they come out with this giant skew with different kind of meats on it, and they give you a couple, and they go to the other tables that order that, and they give them off, but they don't stop. They do not stop, and you finally have to tell them, look, no more.
We want to live.
Right, and the sangria there was unbelievable.
Oh, don't talk about sangria, please.
Okay, we won't.
That's really... honestly, my favorite thing of all time.
Oh my God! Then we got to go here because you would just go crazy.
I will go. I will get on a bus right now.
Yeah,
to go. I'm not even kidding.
Greyhound could take you there.
Yes, Greyhound.
Yeah, but
we'll swing by. We'll grab Mark.
Right, but
we'll go straight to.
Yeah, but then since it was Mineola, we went to this place called Eleanor Rigby's, which is not too far, and we finished our night there and. It was fabulous. Now, right after this, I'm going to Mulberry Street in Bayshore.
So, let me get this straight. You took time off from your birthday weekend to do this show.
Yes, I did.
So you should get a raise.
Yeah, right?
Well, actually, without throwing roses at myself, and thank you for the the thing, Mulberry Street Bayshore is like closer to here than it is to my house. So it's all related. So,
don't ruin it.
Okay. Yes, I did. Yes. I am. This show runs through my blood. Yes. I am dedicated.
There you go.
Okay.
That's how it's supposed to be.
So, like I said, it's not over yet. So, and it's been amazing. And thank you to all my friends and family for making it amazing.
So how old are you? You're not a girl, so I can ask you that question.
No, yeah, I could tell you. I'm 20. No,
you're 20.
59.
You look like 25. You're looking a little more like 25.
Thanks, it's 59.
59?
Next year I'm throwing a surprise party for me. I started planning it already.
I think you're ruining it for yourself, though. It's on the air now. So if you ever listen to the archives, you're going to figure out.
I'm
going to
figure out I have a surprise party coming up. No, I did that for my 50th. I threw my own surprise party for my 50th birthday. It was
great.
Were you
surprised?
I was shocked. I was shocked. I walked in, everybody had to yell surprise. And you had to see people were standing next. People that knew about it were standing next to other people that were saying, doesn't he know about that? They would just shut up, yell surprise, don't worry about it.
Yeah, leave it alone. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, I mean,
this moment.
When you think about it, you know, I did it because, and Brian can relate to this, is I made it at 50. I made it to most of, you know, a lot of friends that I went through life with didn't, you know.
Right.
And, and now 60 is coming up, so God willing, I'll make that, and I want another party for that. So I planned it because I had the caterers I wanted, I had the band I wanted, and I had the friends I wanted to invite there.
Well, there you go. So that's all you need.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want no Aunt Tilly that I haven't seen for 20 years coming there like, who the hell are you? Oh, I'm your aunt that I never see, you know.
Yeah.
But
you owe me money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I never seen you. I knew there was a reason I wasn't going to see you. You know, but so that I feel that way about birthdays. I feel birthdays should be celebrated. I don't know, like all the people who say, it's not a birthday. You know, you live in. You open your eyes every morning, celebrate
it. You said that what you did wasn't a birthday. That's more birthday than I've had in the last 10 years.
Well, you got to have
that. 3 days you've had more birthday than I've had in the last 10 years. Who claimed that that wasn't a birthday?
No, I didn't say it wasn't birthday. I'm saying some people don't
Who are those people who are saying it?
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel sad when they don't. You got to start hanging out with me. You'll have birthday celebrations. It won't even be your birthday. Yeah. Believe me.
I will be there.
Yeah.
I'll get that Greyhound bus.
Next time I'm in Mineola. you'll see. We'll say it's your birthday anyway. Make up for time. You know?
You're going to party.
Yes.
All right, man. That's awesome. So yeah. Did you by any chance have a topic that you wanted to discuss?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have a topic. I have my ongoing topic that I can't stand. It's that I was watching horror movies this week. I work at night, so in the morning when I come home, I turn on the TV and I put on like the Sci-Fi Channel or, you know, and I usually fall asleep and have these weird science fiction dreams, which I'm writing two of them that I had. But anyway, I'm just so appalled, and you know this because we talk about it. When you're watching something and they're building up to the kill and they waste so much time on it, and then all of a sudden they cut away. Like, you know the girl's getting killed. There's the scream and the... No! You don't build up that long. I want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
I want to see the kill. I want to see the monster. I want to see everything. You do not...
Strange,
you know, I hate that.
It's a strange complaint because it makes you sound like a psychopath when you complain about it, but I know what you're talking about it.
You know,
it's like... Hey, when I went to see years and years ago when the first remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out,
right?
The Michael Bay Texas Chainsaw Massacre version, and I went. I think it was 2004 or something like that. It was a long time. It was like 10 years ago,
right?
And I went with a bunch of friends to see it in the movie theater, and we were watching, and it was appropriately creepy in certain respects, but they kept cutting away every time he killed someone with a chainsaw.
Yeah,
and I was like, wait a minute. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, like, you know, people literally did come to this theater to see people get murdered by chainsaws. It's not like it wasn't ambiguous what was going to happen to certain people. It's called Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
And they kept kind of, now, if you buy the DVD, they leave all the violence in. But when they, the theatrical release, I guess they had to cut it so it wouldn't get an R rating.
Yeah.
But so it wouldn't get an X rating. So we were sitting there, and we were freaked out, you know, for appropriate reasons, because we're authentic people who don't really, you know, enjoy people getting massacred with a chainsaw. However, we did go there to be freaked out, to see people getting massacred by chainsaws, and we felt a little jipped. So I kind of know how you feel about that.
You're absolutely right. You know, if you weren't going to watch a movie called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, then that's fine. But when you go to watch a movie, you want to see some chainsaw massacring, you know? Seriously, that's what you want to see. I mean, I'm not big on that, but that's such a ripoff. They should make movie versions, like you said, like they do with the DVDs. Right. They should go out of the way, make three versions, and, you know, it'll be like when you're ordering wings, mild, spicy, and, you know.
Extra hot.
Yes, exactly. And that's what they should have. And then you go in the theater you want, and all the money goes to the same movie. But when they, oh, my God.
Well, yeah, you know, movies, I don't know if it's because we're older now. When I was watching movies when I was a kid, because I know some of them don't hold up, like Friday the 13th movies, the original ones, don't hold up very well. Right. You watch them, they're not very scary.
Right.
But I remember when I was a kid, the entire idea of someone being murdered was a terrifying idea.
Yeah.
So when you watch depictions of that, it freaked you out. Now, as you get older, I'm more mature. I realize it's all fake, so now it's kind of like the fun of like hinting to myself that kind of terror, and just, you know, every now and then getting a glimpse of that old world, you know, that old school terror that I used to feel when I was a kid.
Well, I can tell. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but the movies now are so clean that you can't even get that little tickle of uneasiness anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like the slasher movies are so clean compared to the way they used to be.
Well, that's because they took movies like Friday the 13th and Halloween, and they beat it to a pulp. And I can honestly tell you that word was pulp, by the way. I had rented lips and tequila still going on. But anyway... when I could honestly tell you, me and my friend went to see Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th when it opened up, opened up. And that was, and I could still remember how we felt when we saw that movie. That was a horror movie. That was like, oh my God. And then the special effects and the slasher stuff, that was when... slasher movies were horror movies. But, you know, like you say, people get immune to it because they're doing so much of it. And how much, you know, how many times could you see an arm cut off in many different ways? I don't know.
I agree with you. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, all right, and you do get desensitized to it. Yeah. But when you watch the modern-day slasher movies, like Scream or whatever, they're so clean. You know, it's like, oh, and then the girl gets stabbed with a knife.
Yeah,
and if you remember, like people getting killed with machetes and what is it? What do you call that? Killed somebody with it. Jason killed people with so many implements.
Yeah,
like spear guns. He killed someone with a spear gun.
Yeah,
and, you know, if you remember that kind of stuff, that was because that was the modern. That was contemporary CGI back then.
Right.
You know, that was the special effects and the gore were really the showcase of those movies. And now it's so, you know, the murder is. I mean, unfortunately, murder is so clean now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not a circus murder. You need
murder is clean.
Circus.
Yes.
It is. Brought
to you by General Mills. Yes. Murder is clean.
This complaint is from the desk of Hassan Godwin, right? So it came from the radio. Does not condone the idea of being angry about clean murders.
Clean murder.
Yes. I'm just saying. Murder is clean. It's way too clean in horror movies. It's a horror movie. It's supposed to be messy.
I actually understand that, and I'm telling you. And it took a long time before something impressed me again. And I tell you, the first thing after all the beating the dead horse or the slasher movies, the first thing that impressed me was, and I think this came first before Underworld. I think it was 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
When the lawyer gets it.
I don't know
if you remember. He's going between these sliding doors.
Oh,
they're trying to. And you think he made it. Right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he slides off of himself. He got sliced in half.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was such a great. And you know that had to be CGI. So, I mean, that was the next thing. And in Underworld. The final fight when
Kate
Beckinsale, you know,
slice that guy's head off.
Yeah, and it just goes right at an angle. I love that stuff, you know.
And, that's what I'm saying. And they considered that like they considered that risque back in when Underworld came out. It's like, well, that was just unnecessarily violent.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a vampire movie. It's a movie about vampires against werewolves. Yeah. How clean is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
Like, we've all become so, you know, so girlified. Excuse the phrase. When it comes to watching horror movies, we're all like, I didn't expect it to be that violent. You know.
Yeah, well.
They were complaining about the desolation of Smaug. The parents were talking about, I took my kids to see this, and orcs were getting their heads cut off left and right.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but they're orcs. Kids want orcs to get killed, you know?
Kids don't like orcs in their room closet or under their bed.
They
want them all gone.
They want to come in and cut orcs in half,
yes.
Trust me, it's no this small
is,
thing.
This is a non-orc zone, yes. They have the circle with the red thing in their rooms, yeah. But that scene, like I said, that scene in Underworld was amazingly done, well directed, because there is that moment where she does the thing with the sword and flips over, where they're both, you know, staring, and then she just lifts the blade past her eyes, and you see the blood.
Yeah.
And then
she's like, no, I already got you.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a great... unbelievable, you know, direction that was. That I love that. The directing on that scene.
I'm actually a genuine fan of that film myself. So yeah, I know what you thought. That's and it was a good movie, and it kind of brought back the old Hammer horror film tropes and stuff like that. And,
right.
You know, like monsters against monsters, and
also the ambiance, the way it was filmed. That was like an old Hammer,
right?
You know?
And it's filmed very cheaply. That director is Len Wiseman, and one of my affections for it, that particular director's work is that his work looks like it's multi-million-dollar budget,
right?
Even though he's on like a shoestring budget, like he's famous for that, you know, for being able to utilize his surroundings and his backgrounds and his supplies and stuff like that to keep things cheap.
Well, it works, and it's so funny because the way I look at it, Underworld and Van Helsing, oh my God, how funny is that, those two movies together? Not only, you know, is Kate Beckinsale in them,
but it's the same premise,
werewolves and vampires.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Wait, she was in both of those movies?
Yeah. She was a gypsy.
Oh, I'll have to see Van Helsing again.
I did not recognize her.
Wow. I mean, I recognized the three hotties.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? She played the werewolf sister, and she was also one of those.
If you don't know it's her, you can't.
Okay.
You can't tell.
That's probably why.
She looks like her. She still looks good.
Yeah.
But she's got this gypsy accent, you know, this Romanian accent. And
as always, fills out her costumes wonderfully.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
let's keep it
there,
clean.
I said it, okay?
For the kid. Keep it clean for the kid. How are we doing on time, Ryan?
Oh, we got about 7 minutes.
Mm. 7 minutes.
Brian doesn't hold two hands up anymore because it confuses Mark. I can't believe it.
I think he's gotten a little better.
He got, yeah, really?
Just a little.
Yeah, I would
As long as I don't hold up too many fingers.
Right, I would stay, go with the one hand for now, you know, and while he's here, you can hold up two hands for us. We're good. But
then you hit him with the three fingers, like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 7 minutes. Mark, Brian holds up a hand and two fingers, right? And then
it just threw him.
And he was like a deer in headlights.
He froze.
Yeah. He was like a deer. You had to see. I wish you were here. Yeah, see.
Oh, man.
It was definitely.
You know he's listening to us right now.
Kodak moment.
Yeah, it was a Kodak moment. And then I didn't even tell him how many minutes. I just went, Brian, don't hold up two hands anymore. Look at him. Look at him.
Well, you guys have smartphones. Why didn't you snap a shot of that? That would have been fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Get a snapshot of that.
Because it was so amazing to see, like in person. You know,
very unexpected. That's for sure.
Yeah. And
We'll be ready next time, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so this is about like 5 minutes. Yeah. So here's a question, quick. How do you feel about books translated into movies? Do you have an expectation for that book to be translated properly into a movie, or do you have an open mind about it?
What? I didn't hear you came in fuzzy on that.
What? You just wasted 2 minutes to tell me I was fuzzy.
No. Books, just then.
Books being translated into movies.
Oh.
Do you have expectations for that book to be translated properly, or are you flexible with it as long as it has the general premise of the book in the movie?
Like I said, if you read the book and you enjoy the book, you want the movie to reflect that.
Right. Okay.
Brian?
Some people, yeah. Well, I think the book definitely should have some kind of general feel of the movie. Or, excuse me, the movie should have a general feel of the book.
Yeah.
Because that's where it came from, and that's where it's taking its audience from. But I do feel that it has to be a little bit of flexible because the mediums are so different.
Yeah.
So, like a 400-page book, you're going to try to fit into 2 hours.
Yeah. Did you ever have a book, Brian?
I've never saw a movie where I read the book first, but coming from a layman's point of view, I would think that it would be very hard to turn a book into a movie, because a book is words, and there are words that has to show imagination that makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the wording and how it's structured, what scenes are going on, who's doing what, where they're going, facing left, right, up, down, jumping, whatever. Whereas movies is a little more visual. Well, actually, it's a lot more visual.
Yeah, right? It is visual. Yeah.
But from what I've heard from people who have read books and then watched the movies, they've been very disappointed because the movie doesn't really come or depict that well from what the book is saying. And like you were saying, Hassan, a 400-page book, how do you turn that into a 2-hour movie?
No, you usually can't. You're an after reader then, right? You see a movie that you like and you just want to elaborate on it by reading the book, right?
That makes more sense. To me, what do I know?
No.
Well, you guys,
you know what you like, so that's what you do.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think if you see something that you really like and you want to know more about it, so you go read the book. That works too.
Yeah,
that's,
but then you know, I think I might be disappointed though after seeing the movie first and then going. I'm not sure. I guess I could try it.
Well, I have read the books first, and I could tell you more times than I want, I'm disappointed in the movie.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Have you done it the other way around? Have you seen a movie first and then read the book, and then if so, how did you feel?
No, I have never done that.
Okay.
I've never done that. I'm going to do that now, though.
I saw Jack Reacher, which is a Tom Cruise movie based on the character Jack Reacher, which was invented by a writer named Lee Child. Yeah. And he's got a bunch of movies. He's just got a bunch of books. He's got like 16 or 17 books of Jack Reacher. And the one they made a movie of was the book called One Shot.
Right.
So I went and read One Shot after I saw the movie. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the book so much that I've read like 4 others without movies. You know,
and
so
it's actually 1 minute.
Yes. Well,
now 1 minute with that one shot.
And I'm done. I'm actually done with my statement. Well, I mean, basically it worked. So it works both ways.
Well,
Charlie, take us out.
Oh, okay. That's it for this week. It came from the radio, and if you missed any of the show, tough. I'm going to say it, tough. Mark will tell you where you can find it next week. But I am not going to have any final thoughts, because we don't have final thoughts.
Nah.
Our thoughts go on into infinity. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
See us, Hassan, you guys did good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just don't let Mark know that.
With Mark Torres.
All right, guys.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.